Well, tonight we are going to look at one verse from Mark chapter 8, Mark 8:38, and we'll touch on a few verses just before Mark 8:38. So, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Mark 8:38 says, it's Jesus is speaking. He says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So as we look briefly at this verse, I'm going to focus on this, this little part of it that talks about this adulterous and sinful generation. And there are two things I want to dwell on. The context is Jesus speaking to his disciples. So I want to talk about rejected disciples and an adulterous generation. Rejected disciples and an adulterous generation. So first of all, the rejected disciples. Here, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's challenging them, warning them that they are going to be rejected by the world. And it was true for them, and it's also true for us. You must expect it if you are a disciple of Jesus. You will be rejected by the world. If you are not rejected by the world, it's going to happen. You must not come to expect that you won't be rejected by the world at some level. In this passage, Jesus calls his disciples to join him in that. Join him in the suffering. Join him in the rejection from the world. The life of the believer, you expect willingly that it's going to follow the pattern of Jesus. So just as Jesus suffered in the world, so his disciples, we expect to suffer in this world. And just as Jesus was rejected by the world, we as disciples expect to be rejected by the world. Now, for those of us who are living in America in this day, we are increasingly experiencing rejection by this world, and it could get much worse. We're told that our beliefs and our practices are hateful. We're told that we're not wanted. We're told that we're not suitable for positions of influence in the community, nor for even just having a place in this society, because of our views about things like marriage or sexuality, or the exclusive place of Christ. Because of these things, the world finds us increasingly intolerable. Now, for those who have lived in America a little bit longer, maybe you wouldn't consider yourself to be a younger person, this hatred and this scorn is perhaps even more painful and bewildering, because you remember a day living in this land where believers felt like they enjoyed some measure of respect, some place of influence in this world, whether it was in government or in schools or just in the community, as a parent in the neighborhood. And perhaps mistakenly, during those years further back, we mistakenly found security in that. Security in either the political placement, the political influence that the church seemed to have, or the political majorities that the church seemed to be participating in. And perhaps we mistakenly assumed that the church was going to be increasing. We would live and get older and see the church grow and be even more prominent. Or at least, if not grow, at least hold her ground. Instead of seeing what looks like, in some quarters, rapid shrinkage. And perhaps we thought that the faith of our fathers would be the faith of our children. But instead, what we're seeing is increasingly an entire generation, younger generation, leaving the church, even attacking the church, attacking her faith. And so for some, it may feel like the church is heading into exile, is being sent into an exile. So if that's the case, you as a follower of Christ have some kind of choice ahead of you now and in the future. Will you follow Christ? Will you follow Christ and share in his sufferings, share in his rejection by the world? Or are you going to pull back on following Christ? Pull back and somehow blend into this world so it's not as painful, so the rejection isn't as severe. Well, those are the disciples who are rejected. Now let's talk about the adulterous generation. Mark 8:38, Jesus is addressing these disciples, telling them they're going to be rejected, and he seems to offer a choice. He says, you can be a rejected, suffering disciple, or you can be part of this adulterous and sinful generation. You can be rejected and suffer, or you can be part of the adulterous and sinful generation. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about adultery? Is he talking about people who enter into marriage, but they're unfaithful to their spouses? Husbands who cheat? Wives who have flings? Well, certainly. Just a chapter back in Mark 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus speaks of the evil that comes out of the heart of people. He says, he lists the kinds of things that comes out of the heart of man: adulteries, fornications, lewdness. And then just one chapter back, Mark 6, Mark spends a good deal of space on Herod and his immoral divorce, his wrongful marriage to his brother's wife, Herodias. And so Jesus clearly, in this book of Mark, sees marriage, adultery, and he finds it sinful. But in this verse, in chapter 8 here, Jesus is speaking, I think, of a different kind of adultery here. If you look at the context, he has a different kind of adultery in mind. He is warning here about spiritual adultery. And so whether you are married or whether you are single, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you have the capacity to commit spiritual adultery. And I think that's what Jesus is referring to here. Here's how we know that Jesus especially is speaking about spiritual adultery in this context, in this verse. Verse 28, Jesus says, this generation, this adulterous and sinful generation, this generation. Earlier, the same chapter, if you back up just a little bit, verse 12, Jesus speaks about this generation again, this generation. And there, in verse 12, this generation, it's not the hostile, unbelieving, un-Judaized, un-Christian world. It's the hostile, Jesus-rejecting religious people. Religious people are this generation here. So verse 11 in this chapter, it says, the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation, there's our identifying group, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. So those who are represented by these Pharisees, these who are religious, but they won't follow Jesus, these are the adulterous generation. And in fact, Matthew 12, in this reporting this same incident, Matthew 12, 38, Matthew amplifies this conversation with the Pharisees. And there, what Jesus says is not just this generation. He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. So same interaction, but Matthew amplifies it a little bit, and this is the adulterous generation. So what Jesus is saying is, it's us. We who think ourselves religious, we are the ones who can fall into spiritual adultery. Now, how do we do that? How can we fall into spiritual adultery? We're disciples of Jesus. We're not the ones arguing against him, are we? Well, Jesus explains it earlier, Mark 7, speaking to that same group of people, those Pharisees. Mark 7, verse 6, he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So isn't that actually the essence of adultery? It's you say with your lips that I'm married to you. I'm your spouse. You're my spouse. I'll cleave to you. I'll love you. But in spite of what we say with our lips about Jesus, to Jesus, our heart is actually far from our spouse. So we have that danger. We have that possibility. We can say, I'm not like the Pharisees. I am a disciple of Jesus. But where is my heart? Where's my heart today? Where was my heart an hour ago, back at the office, or back when I was with my friends in the neighborhood? Jesus is saying, if you say you love me, but you don't desire me, if you say you love me, you're my disciple, but you're ashamed of me, you're embarrassed of me, it's a form of spiritual adultery. So Jesus is presenting here two dangers, dual dangers. It's the danger of being rejected by the world and then just thinking, oh, it's too painful. I'm going to just fit into the world. And the danger of adultery against Christ. I'll say I'm for Christ, but my heart's far from him. I've got the appearance of being a disciple, but inwardly, it's not true. So this is hard. This is hard. You don't want rejection from the majority of people around you. You want to fit in. You want ease. And you know, at the same time, your heart does wander from Jesus. We all go through that. I am the one who's adulterous in heart. I'm the one embarrassed to be associated with Christ. So how do we deal with that? How do you both willingly take up the rejection of the world, and how do you resist the fakery of spiritual adultery, the secret affairs that we have away from Jesus? Well, the way that we can do this is when we admire our husband, Jesus, in the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus so loved us that he made himself of no reputation in order to tie himself to his bride. And in the gospel, Jesus is not ashamed of us, but he carried our shame, even the shame of the death on the cross, so that we could share in his glory and in his honor. And so when you see him doing that in the gospel, and then you're convinced of your own adultery, your own untrustworthiness, your own cowardice, the gospel becomes bigger. The gospel becomes huge. The gospel seems unreasonably generous. Why did he take shame for me in my unworthiness and cowardice? The gospel seems preposterously gracious. Jesus saved sinners.